Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Scripture reading is a familiar one, but please open your Bibles anyway. Psalm 23, and I'd like to encourage you, we'll have it on the screen, but for the scripture reading, but not for the sermon. So I want to encourage you to have your Bibles open to this passage as we study it together. Psalm 23. Hear God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let's pray. O living God, please open the eyes of our heart that we might behold wondrous things in your word. Open the ears of our heart that we might hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to us from heaven. And we pray that you would humble and soften our hearts that we might heed his voice and follow him step by step, day by day, all the days of our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved psalms of believers everywhere and in all ages, and rightly so. Beautiful psalm, and you may be had it memorized. You may be thought, well, I know it in slightly different words because I grew up with a different translation, but I still know it really well. And that's excellent, and it's right for that to be the case. And if you haven't memorized it, I'd encourage you, try to memorize it, at least in a musical setting. But we hear Psalm 23, and we all face this great temptation. We're tempted to say, oh man, I wish that I had such strong faith as that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And that I can just trust him. I wish that I had such strong faith as that. But here's the good news, brothers and sisters. God's word doesn't give us Psalm 23 in order to point us to ourselves and say, look, whip yourself into shape, work up a strong faith in yourself. God's word points us away from ourselves to the living God, to trust a strong Savior, to trust a faithful Savior, to follow the Good Shepherd. And therein lies our hope, not that our faith is so strong, but that our Savior is so strong, that our God is so strong. And when you do look away from yourself, not your faith, but at the object of your faith, the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, what comfort does God give you? And that's the basic theme of the sermon this morning. When Jesus is your shepherd, what comfort do we have according to Psalm 23? First of all, when Jesus is your shepherd, you know that he'll provide all your needs. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord, when Lord is capitalized like that, remember that's God's covenant name, Yahweh or Jehovah, whichever way you want to pronounce it, it's his covenant name. This is the God who led Israel out of Egypt. This is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as we heard earlier, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus is Jehovah in the flesh. That's what the Jews understood that very clearly. They knew exactly what he was saying. That's why they were going to pick up stones and execute him for blasphemy, because that was the Old Testament penalty. And that's exactly what he was saying, but it was not God's time for him, and it was not God's mode of death for him, and so he wasn't killed at that time. But Jesus is the Lord, and when he is your shepherd, you can know that he will provide for all your needs. The Lord knows each of his sheep by name. Jesus said that. The shepherd knows his sheep by name, which would be terrifying, wouldn't it? I know when I went to school, I wasn't always, don't tell your children, I wasn't always the best behaved child. I preferred to be anonymous too. I preferred not that the teacher would not know who I was. My last name starts with W. I put me close to the end of the alphabet. That put me in the back of the room. I liked that in some ways. And it would be terrifying to know that the living God knows us individually. Everything there is to know about us, knows us inside and out, knows our motives as well as our behavior, except for the fact that the Good Shepherd also loves us so much that he was willing to come for us, to lay down his own life for us, to rescue us. In fact, God says that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And God says that if he did not hold back the greatest gift of all, his only begotten Son, how will he hold back any good thing from you? There's our hope. It's not like we have to hide our sins from the Lord because he knows them better than we do. In fact, I think it's partly his mercy that he doesn't expose them all to us all at once, or we'd be so overwhelmed we just couldn't live with it. But the Lord knows it all better than we do. And knowing it all, he loved us and came to rescue us, came in the person of Jesus Christ. And by his perfect life and by his atoning death, he seeks and he saves us. And this one who sought and saves us, when he's our shepherd, then we can know that he'll provide for all our needs. And if he's thinking of your eternal needs, then you can know that he's also thinking of your temporal needs. It's nothing for the one who created the heavens and the earth, who said, "Let there be light," and all of a sudden there was light, to meet your needs. And he does meet your needs, but according to his wisdom and according to his timetable. And his wisdom and his timetable are motivated by love, the same love that sent Jesus to the cross. So when Jesus is your shepherd, you can know that he'll provide for your needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Secondly, when Jesus is your shepherd, he'll restore you when you wander or fall. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And in a real sense, this verse highlights why we need Jesus to be our Savior. Isaiah 53, the passage that we read earlier in the service, reminds us that all we like sheep have gone astray. But Psalm 23 reminds us that he restores my soul. And this word that's translated restores is an important word in the Old Testament, and it's a frequently used word in the Old Testament. It means to turn back or to return or to restore. It means basically what it says. But it's also the great verb that's used for repentance, when by God's grace we turn from our sins to follow the Lord in faith. And here it means to restore what was lost. Years ago, I read a book by a fellow named Philip Keller. It's still in print. Maybe you've seen it too. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And when I read that book, he said something that's so obvious, I was surprised that I never thought of it before. He said, "You know, it's not exactly flattering to be compared to sheep." Sheep are not especially intelligent creatures. Sheep are not especially obedient creatures. Sheep are not especially strong and capable creatures. These are creatures that need to be cared for and that are prone to wander. They are inclined to not necessarily to run away out of malice, but just to, maybe they have short memories and they just lose track of things. And anyway, oh, look, there's a dandelion over there, and et cetera. They just sort of wander away. And so they need for the shepherd to take care of them. And the Lord says, we are his sheep. We're like that. And the Lord is the good shepherd who really cares, who cares deeply about each and every sheep, who knows each and every sheep by name and cares deeply about the entire flock of sheep. And he restores our souls. If we drift away or wander away, he'll come back and rescue us. David was one who experienced faith. David is one who loved the Lord. But David also knew sin. David sinned against the Lord, and the Bible doesn't hide the fact that his sin was pretty serious. And thankfully, David knew the Lord as his shepherd and his faithful Savior. And he discovered that there's more grace in God's heart than there was sin in his life. And that's something that the Lord wants each of his sheep to discover, that there's more grace in his heart than there is sin in your life. Because God abounds in mercy. God is overflowing in mercy. He is infinite in mercy, and he has forgiveness to cover all our sins, all our iniquity, all our transgression. That sort of covers the bases. Sin means to fall short. That's what we often call sins of omission. Transgressions means to trespass. That's what we often call sins of commission. God says, thou shalt not, and we do it. That's a transgression. Or God says, do this, but we don't do it. That's a sin. But iniquity is the bent of our heart, the inner depravity. It's related to that word inequity. Things are out of kilter, out of balance. We're bent inside. And the Lord has forgiveness to cover even that inner bentness and brokenness, as well as the external fruit of that. But the Lord does not just forgive your sins, period. Look closer at this verse. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. We sing that. It's one of my favorite hymns. And so whenever I preach, I probably wind up quoting it a lot. So if you get sick of hearing me quote it, please don't say anything. I already know. But Rock of Ages, we pray to Jesus, be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. He cleanses us from the guilt, our liability to punishment, but also from the power of sin. He justifies us and he sanctifies us. He makes us pure. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And his goal is to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Originally, human beings were made in the image of God, male and female. He made them. We're to be little creaturely replicas of God. We're to be like God. And we fall short of that glorious image of God. But God sent his only begotten Son to forgive us for the sin of falling short, but also to restore us to that image, to make us like him. And what is God like? Well, look at Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. That shows you exactly what God is like. And his goal then is to conform you to the image of Christ. And it's not always an easy process. It's not always a painless process. In fact, that's an understatement, isn't it? It's not usually an easy process. It's not usually a painless process, but it is always good for your soul, because he loves you so much that he laid down his own life for you. When Jesus is your shepherd, then you know that he always does what is best for you. So you can have the confidence that Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't cause all things to be good or to feel good, but to work together for good. He makes good things work for your good. He makes bad things work for your good. Well, there's a third thing we see in verses 4 and 5. When Jesus is your shepherd, he'll surprise you with his grace. even in times of darkness or places of darkness. Look at verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. When I first got out of seminary, I did a pastoral internship, a year-long internship at a church in Pennsylvania. And there was an older man in that church that he and his wife took a real interest in Holly and myself, and we spent a lot of time with them. And I discovered he was just 17 or just barely 18. He was in the Marine Corps, and he was in the South Pacific, and he was a point man, which means the guy that goes in front of his group of men as they were going through these jungles in these valleys. And he knew that there are snipers in these hills and in these trees, and the point man is there to find them out before the rest of the guys come along. So that means that it's a pretty dangerous job and a high likelihood of being killed if that's your job. And that was his job. And he said that's when he really got serious about the Lord. He grew up in a Christian home. He grew up in the church. He grew up knowing about the Lord, but he got really serious. And he said, I had memorized Psalm 23 when I was a kid, and I just kept saying this over and over and over again to myself. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's not the way we would write this psalm, is it? We would say, because the Lord is my shepherd, nothing bad ever happens to me. I never have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I never have to be surrounded by enemies. I don't even have enemies. That's how we would prefer to write it, but that's not the way life works, and that's not the way God's word speaks, because God's word is always true, and it addresses truth to our lives. And so there is such a thing as rough sailing, and there is such a thing as grief. Verse 4 mentions the valley of the shadow of death. It mentions evil. Verse 5 mentions the presence of enemies. And we wonder what ordinary shepherd would lead his sheep into the valley of the shadow of death? What ordinary shepherd would lead his sheep into the presence of their enemies? There's a pack of wolves over there. Let's go eat right in the middle of them. But that's exactly the point of God's word here. Jesus is not an ordinary shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, the sovereign Jehovah, who knows the end from the beginning, the King of Kings, who works all things after the counsel of his will. And what might seem to you and me to be out of place may to him be exactly the right path to bring you to the destiny that he's appointed for you. See, we hardly know the Lord at all when we think he always does things in the way that's easiest and most convenient for us. If he did, would that produce a strong faith in him? Would that produce an enduring faith and a trust in him and a love to him? It's foolish if we think that the way of faith and obedience will obliterate all difficulties out of our lives. But picture these sheep. Can you imagine them cringing because they're trying to eat their meal and they're surrounded by wolves with their fangs dripping with saliva and wondering, why on earth did the good shepherd bring us here? Well, there are many reasons why the Lord brings us there. And one is because he has other sheep who are not of this fold, and he must bring them as well. He uses his sheep to rescue other sheep who are still lost and outside the fold. In Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. That's the stance of the Christian in this modern world, in this fallen world, not just the modern world, but it was so in Jesus' day too. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. He uses us to rescue other sheep, to be bear witness to them. He uses these things to draw us closer to him. Because when things are going smoothly, this is true confessions, but I suspect I'm speaking for all of us. You go through a time of trial and it drives you to your knees and you cry out to the Lord for help. And the Lord answers those prayers and he brings you out of that trial. And then maybe it's a lot more subtle than this, but then you sort of go through this reflex where you say, thanks, Lord. See ya. But the Lord doesn't want us to say, thanks, Lord, see ya. He wants us to walk with him, to hold his hand, to go step by step with him, to have fellowship with him, to enjoy friendship with him. And so he puts us through trials and in the midst of enemies to draw us closer to him and to make us trust him all the more, not ourselves, not other things. He rips idols away from us and he puts himself in their place when they were trying to usurp his place. And when he does that, then we discover that we can say, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. And God's redeemed children in every generation have discovered this. Our Lord Jesus Christ surprises us with his grace. He knows that he's both able and willing to cause all things to work together for the good of those who love him. And he does exactly that, and he keeps doing exactly that. So keep looking to Jesus as your faithful Savior. Hold on to him as tight as you can and keep following step by step, moment by moment, as your good shepherd. There's a fourth thing, and we see it in verse 6. When Jesus is your shepherd, he'll be with you now. He'll be with you forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was a Christian radio program. It was a call-in type program, call in with your questions or comments. And a woman called in, and she was deeply distressed. And she said, my husband is dying. And she told the story. And the preacher said, what you need is a miracle of healing to prolong his life. And that was all he had for her. But the woman needed more than that, didn't she? She needed more than just a temporary blessing, which would only last for so long, and then her husband would be dying again and would eventually die. We all go the way of all flesh. But she needed something more than something that would tide her over until the next crisis. She needed the one who gives these blessings. She needed the giver of blessings. She needed the good shepherd who would never leave her nor forsake her, who would hold her safe in every crisis, who would safely lead her through even the valley of the shadow of death. She needed more than just one miracle that Jesus can do. And Jesus can do miracles. He did do miracles. He still does do miracles. But she needed more than that. She needed Jesus. She needed to be able to say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. That was what she needed to hear. That's what you and I need to hear. When Jesus is your shepherd, he has been with you in the past. He will be with you in the future. And not only that, but he'll also be with you at each and every point between the past and the future. When Jesus is your shepherd, you can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that word that's translated follow literally means to chase or to pursue. It's kind of like two sheepdogs that the Lord has. goodness and mercy, and they won't let you go. They will pursue you. They'll chase you all the days of your life. When Holly and I lived in Canada, we lived on a farm out in the prairie, and we had a dog. And because we lived on a farm, the dog was never on a leash. He didn't have to be on a leash. And I'd go for walks with her, and she'd run around and pretend that she was prehistoric dog hunting, whatever. She would pretend that she's hunting things, or she would hunt things, and she'd run way ahead of me, and I used to try, I'd duck down behind a bush, or I'd find a hiding place, a little low spot or something. I'd try to hide from her, and that would perplex her for a few seconds, but she always found me. She pursued me until she found me. And that's the picture of this verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall chase me all the days of my life. And goodness is a pretty straightforward word, but actually it's a figure of speech, so it's kind of like they mean the two parts of the same thing. It's God's good mercy. The word that's translated mercy is a word that there's just no one English word that can capture it. The King James Version always translates it loving kindness, and that's a good translation, but it doesn't really capture all of it. I think the English Standard Version always translates it steadfast love, and the New International Version often translates it loyal love. But it's God's constant love, it's his compassionate love, it's his kind love, it's his covenant love. And it's as if the Lord has these two sheepdogs that will chase you. Goodness and mercy will never let you get away. You can run, but you can never hide. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And no matter what happens in this life, when Jesus is your shepherd, you have that eternal hope that you will go to be with him. The night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus was preparing his disciples, "I'm going to go away." And you can read it, start in John 13 and read through John 17. But he said, "I'm going to go away." And they were saying, "Well, why? We want to go too." And he said, "But no, you can't go with me, but I'll come back for you." "But why can't we go? Where are you going?" And it goes back and forth. "And how can we get there?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But as he's preparing them, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you may be with me." And it's in his Father's house where there are many mansions or many rooms. What can give you that kind of confidence? The fact that the Good Shepherd has offered up his life on the cross as a sacrifice for his sheep, and that he rose again from the dead, and that he's the living Savior who takes the blessings that he has won and gives them to you by his word and spirit. So your hope is not to somehow whip yourself into shape and work up a strong faith. Your hope is to focus your faith on a great and faithful Savior. Even when you have to say, like one of the men in the Bible had to say, "Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief." "Yes, I trust you, but it's just a weak faith, so help me. But I do trust you." See, it's not how strong your faith is that is your hope and salvation. It's your Savior who is your hope and salvation. And if your faith, whether it's strong or weak, and most of us sometimes have strong faith and sometimes have weak faith, and it ebbs and flows. If your faith is in the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can say and really mean, "My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen. Let's pray together. O living and true God, how we thank you for your great love that sent a great shepherd to seek and to save us and to give us a great salvation for now and for forever. And we pray that you'd work a living faith in each and every heart, that we might each know you as the object of our faith and trust you. And where we have weak faith, may you strengthen it. Where we have strong faith, may you establish it. Where we have no faith, may you create it. But we pray that you would direct every heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that he alone gives. For it's in his name that we pray, and all God's people say, Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.